The Spirit speaketh. Probably the most difficult lesson I've ever prepared. The Spirit speaketh. You know, the existence of the Holy Spirit is recognized by us who know the New Testament from the very time of the creation, when we see the plural word of the form of God, the plural form of the word God in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, but not just a God, but God in a plural form. And by Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, whenever the verse says, "Let us make man," God said, "Let us make man in our image." And of course, it is much easier for you and I, having the New Testament, which identifies the three in the Godhead, and exactly who that they are. And John, 1 John 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Well, you know, I've often thought about, really often, thought about the Old Testament times and really what they were aware of about the Trinity, about the three persons in the Godhead, because it is much clearer for you and I. The Bible spells it out in black and white. This is God. And this is the persons in the Godhead. But in the Old Testament times, it wasn't as clear. But even so, sometimes maybe we fail to realize just how involved the Holy Spirit has been from the time of the creation in dealing with man. It seems that many people view the Holy Spirit as some sort of a Johnny-come-lately in the spiritual realm, in the work of God. But in reality, all through the ages, from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been involved in God's dealings with man, just as involved as the Word and the Father. And I believe that we'll be able to demonstrate that this morning in the lesson. Some people have failed to realize that that the Spirit is God. You hear people talk about the Spirit as some kind of a glorified thing or a glorified it. Sometimes we hear it put. Well, the Holy Spirit is a person, and He is God. He's not something that God created for our benefit. He's not something that God created for people to swoon over. But He is God Himself. He possesses the authority of God. He gives the commands of God. He offers the blessings of God. He does the work of God, His part of the work of God. And so, let's first of all this morning consider some examples in the Old Testament and then turn to the New Testament as well and see if we can learn just how and if the Holy Spirit has spoken and does speak to men. First of all, we're going to be talking about things in a chronological order, so to speak. And it's ironic that the first example that we turn to, you have to look in the New Testament to realize that the Holy Spirit had anything to do with it. And that's the example of Noah. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, in the days of Noah, Noah was preaching to the lost, telling them that they needed to repent, begging them on behalf of God. But it wasn't Noah's words. It was the Holy Spirit. It was actually Jesus speaking through the Holy Spirit. But not named Jesus. He was the Word. He's the Lord. God speaking through the Holy Spirit, working through Noah to preach to the lost. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so it says that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, went and preached unto the people who were, He says, were in prison. And we know He's talking about the people who died in the flood, the people who needed to escape that destruction. Using Noah as His mouthpiece, the Holy Spirit gave the message of Christ to the world. The Holy Spirit, from the very beginning, is working. From before the flood, is working among men to try to persuade them to turn to God. Moses was a man who was taught by God what to say. And we look in Exodus chapter 4, and we look at this verse and talk about inspiration, and it's a good place to look to explain what it means to be inspired by God. Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Well, the Bible doesn't say here, sure, that was the Holy Spirit doing that work. Doesn't that sound remarkably, though, like what the Holy Spirit did through the apostles? Putting the words in their tongues and telling them what to say. But you know, when we turn over to Nehemiah chapter 9, and I tell you what, I love this chapter. If you want to teach someone what's in the Old Testament, a history, and give them a summary of what the Old Testament is all about, the story, look at Nehemiah chapter 9. That's a summary of everything that took place from the creation till the time of the coming out of the Babylonian captivity. And I just don't know of a better chapter to give that history. But it's some interesting points made in this chapter, and we're going to look at chapter 9 and verse 20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldst not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Whenever the Israelites were in the wilderness, it's the Holy Spirit that God gave to teach them, to give the instruction that they needed. And I believe that it applies not only to Moses giving the law, but also applies to the situation that, which is discussed in Numbers chapter 11 when the 70 elders of the Israelites were prophesying. The Holy Spirit was taken some from Moses and given to them so that they were all able to prophesy and teach the will of God. They were instructing the Israelites, but it wasn't their own words. It wasn't their own ideas, their own imagination. It was the Word of God. They were prophesying, they were preaching by inspiration. The Spirit of God was moving them to preach those messages, to teach them and instruct them in the right way to go. Furthermore, we look to Numbers chapter 24, and we see the story about Balaam when he was approaching God on behalf of Balak. Now, that was an interesting story, and we know that Balaam was not commended for that later in Scripture. But you know, one thing I appreciated about him is he was never willing to say what God didn't tell him to say. But in Numbers chapter 24, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who is speaking, not Balaam. In fact, it appears that he's in some sort of a trance whenever he's saying these words. Balaam lifted up, verse 2 and following, Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling, in the King James says, into a trance. But that's the idea that seems to come out here. But having his eyes open. But the idea, he's not saying his own words, he's seeing a vision. His eyes are open, but he's not seeing what's just in front of him. He's seeing a vision from God. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, with the Lord, which the Lord hath planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. And God brought him forth out of Egypt, and hath as it were, the strength of a unicorn. And he shall eat up the nations his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. And he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. But Balaam wasn't saying the words that he wanted to say. He was saying the words that God put in his mouth to say. He was speaking by the Holy Spirit. God was the one making that message clear to Balak that his people were going to be blessed regardless of Balak's efforts or desires. The Holy Spirit was the one who told David what to say in his last words. We turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I almost sent you to the wrong chapter. I get in trouble once in a while doing that, and that just doesn't work very well. 2 Samuel 23. Verses 2 and 3. This is the last words according to verse 1 of David. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So David was inspired. David received direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, talking about the necessity of the one who would be a ruler, being a just ruler. In fact, David later said, you know, we weren't perfect in this way, but he still made a covenant with us, with our family, to help us to be able to be this ruling family over this nation. But the Holy Spirit was active in helping at this time. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of these other examples, but when we look at the prophets, we have Azariah, whenever he prophesied to Asa, the king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and they repented. But when we look in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, when Zechariah prophesied to Joash in Judah by the Holy Spirit, Joash ordered Zechariah to be stoned to death. This isn't the Zechariah, by the way, that wrote the book. This is another prophet who lived earlier. But you know, he was stoned to death, but he was preaching the word of the Holy Spirit. He was prophesying. He was telling them to repent. And the prophets were giving a message of God that came to them through the Holy Spirit. They weren't speaking their own words. They were speaking the words of God. Jehaziel, when he prophesied to Jehoshaphat of Judah in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he spoke by the Holy Spirit. And these are specific examples which says that the Spirit of God came upon them and therefore they prophesied these things. Isaiah was allowed to preach and made capable of preaching and prophesying and teaching because the Holy Spirit came upon him. And generally, if we look back to Nehemiah again, and chapter 9 and verse 30, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiedst against them by thy Spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of people of the lands." And so the Bible says that these prophets were prophesying by the Spirit of God. It wasn't their own imagination. The Holy Spirit was working through them to make this message clear. And once in a while you found a king who was humble and repented, but so many times the Israelites just continued to be rebellious and turned away further and further from God until they were carried away at the hand of God. And so the Holy Spirit was involved in moving those prophets and teaching them. Well, isn't this what the New Testament says about the Holy Spirit's work with the prophets? And we turn to 2 Peter in chapter 1, probably the verses that would first come to mind when we think about the Spirit speaketh in the Old Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, speaking of the prophecies which are more certain and more valuable than any vision, Peter says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture was any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And so that Holy Spirit was telling them what to say, giving them the words to prophesy. In fact, that's Hebrews 1:1 says that God, the Father, spoke to the prophets, or spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was involved in that as well, in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so what we have is a divine organization that has been true from the very beginning. The Father has the will. He's the one who directs the will. The Word articulates that will, and the Holy Spirit delivers it to men. And that has been true from the very beginning, and it remained true throughout the beginning of the Christian era, throughout the time of the writing of the New Testament. And that brings us to the New Testament, and we're going to take a look at some things here. You know, when Jesus was meeting with the apostles, He gave specific promises to them about the Holy Spirit and His work. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, "But when they deliver you," Jesus says, they were talking about them being persecuted for their preaching, He says, "take no thought how or what you shall speak, For it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. Interesting. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And so it wasn't someone who heard a message and then passed it on to somebody else. You know, someone can tell me to give a message to somebody. They might even write it down so that I won't make a mistake. But even so, something might not be clear in the way that I say it or the way that I emphasize something. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit worked. He didn't just tell somebody an idea and then let them give their idea to the people. He gave the words to those men. He put the words on their tongue, in their lips, and spoke through their mouth. The men were simply mouthpieces for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was not teaching His own will, just like Jesus was not teaching His own will. I mentioned a while ago the divine organization or order of things that has been true from the beginning. Jesus affirms this in John chapter 12, in verses 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever or whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Well, here is Jesus Himself, the Word, who became flesh, making it very clear that it wasn't His own teaching, but it came from the Father. It originated from the Father. Jesus was keeping perfectly to the will of the Father and articulating it in words so that people could understand it. And in John chapter 16, regarding the Holy Spirit, whenever He would come upon the apostles, and verses 13 and 14, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Can we not see the divine order illustrated in these verses? It's the will of the Father, which is also the will of Christ articulated for us. But whenever Jesus goes back to heaven, who's going to be giving us that word? The Holy Spirit. And that's what the promise was to the apostles. And they know, and we should understand, that the Holy Spirit was not speaking His own message, but the will which originated with the Father. It was that way in the Old Testament times. It remains that way in the New Testament times. And so, we have a consistent arrangement of things regarding God and the Godhead and their parts in dealing with man. In Acts chapter 2, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, it says that they were all filled with in verse 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And that word doesn't mean something that's unknown. It simply means dialects of different languages. And it's more specific than dialects. I mean, than languages. It's actually the different dialects of those languages. They were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Was that their own words? Or was that the Holy Spirit simply using their tongue to speak those words? They were the voice box of the Holy Spirit. The thoughts did not originate in their minds. The words were not thought of by those men. The Holy Spirit put the words there and they were able to say those words, even in languages that they should not be able to speak. Not only saying words. I can say some words in Russian, as I mentioned earlier. But there's a lot of difference in the way that I speak Russian and the way Renata speaks Russian. Or the way some Russian preacher speaks Russian. There's a lot of difference in the way that it sounds. But if I were preaching by inspiration and speaking in the Russian language, I would speak as naturally as if I were born in that country and grew up hearing that language, if it was my mother tongue. And it wouldn't matter which part of the country that I was in, I would speak with that particular dialect that those people were speaking. I would pronounce words the same way that they were used to hearing them pronounced. And I would use the same terminology that they were used to hearing. Now, you and I, we go to England, and our English is different than their English. Even though we can usually understand basically what's being said, there are some things that we use completely different terminology than they do. But if I were speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that would not happen. No mistakes. The Holy Spirit speaking using the tongues of men to do that work, but the Holy Spirit doing the speaking nonetheless. God, the Holy Spirit, speaking through men to make His will known. And certainly, it was successful in Acts chapter 2, wasn't He? Nearly 3,000 souls, or about 3,000 souls, were added to the Lord who believed that message, who had heard the preaching in their own languages wherein they were born. The Holy Spirit can do that, but you and I can't. You ever thought about, I didn't write it in my notes because I had already finished everything, and I didn't want to write it in there, but I'm going to throw it in anyway. Think about the Tower of Babel. Those people didn't study new languages, did they? How did they know those new languages? God gave them to them. He gave them those new tongues to speak, just like that. And therefore, there were a lot of different languages that existed, and there still are many languages that exist. Probably not fewer than there were at that time. But then the messages that the Holy Spirit speaks today, through men, or not today, but He has spoken to us today, through men, we see several messages in the New Testament for us that the Holy Spirit says. First of all, we see that the mystery of Christ is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5 makes this extremely clear. In other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And of course, talking about the mystery of Christ that we can now understand, which we were not able to understand in previous times. Well, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 3, he says, "Therefore I give you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit." How is it that you and I can know that Jesus is the Lord even today if it was not for the work of the Holy Spirit? That He told the world that Jesus is the Lord. And while we may not be learning that by direct inspiration, we have the result of direct inspiration telling us that. But the mystery of Christ is revealed even to you and I today because of the Holy Spirit telling us the mystery of Christ, revealing it, who revealed it to the apostles and the prophets in the first century and who recorded it for us so we can have an everlasting understanding about that. Also, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit speaking has revealed the blessings of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And then let's look down in verse 12 and 13. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So you and I, even though we're not receiving that directly, we still have the same words, do we not? We have those words which reveal the secret things of God, the mysteries, the things which God has prepared for us who love Him. And how do I know about heaven if it were not for the Holy Spirit? How would I know about Jesus being my Savior if it were not for the Holy Spirit? How would I know what I need to do to please God so that I can enter heaven and that I really have a hope for those things if it were not for the Holy Spirit speaking? And yes, He does speak to us today, not directly, but through the written word which He has already spoken. And that's not a difficult concept when we get out of the realm of religion, and I wish that it were not so difficult for people to grasp within the religious circles. The Holy Spirit speaking in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, and I'm touching on a lot of people's lessons, and I know that, and I'm not trying to overdo those boundaries, but I had to in this lesson. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, we learn that the Holy Spirit testifies on behalf of the children of God. Gives testimony. In verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That simply means that He gives testimony. He says, "You're the children of God." He says, "On your behalf, these are the children of God. These are your children, God." He gives testimony. And here's why. that they're your children. This is what is required for people to be your children, and this is what these people are doing. So I testify that they are your children. I believe that's what that passage is talking about. We'll know more about that. I believe, Brother Cotham, you have that lesson, don't you? Someone who has that lesson about the Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. I'm looking forward to hearing that lesson. But you know something? The Holy Spirit testifies. Now, I've heard people say that this is only talking about the miraculous things and that this is only talking about the apostles or the prophets who were able to perform those miracles. But he says in verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The people who can cry, Abba, Father, are the people whom the Spirit testifies for. And if I can cry, Abba, Father, then the Spirit testifies on my behalf. That doesn't mean that He's speaking tongues through me or working miracles through me. It simply means that His testimony shows that I am His child. The testimony is words. And you know, if a court ended 20 years ago and the testimony is written and it's recorded, those people still testified that that was true. It doesn't matter whether they're still saying it today. The fact that it's done and written and permanently recorded. And that's the way the Holy Spirit testifies for you and I today. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit also testified on behalf of those people who were prophets and apostles in the beginning, that their message was authentic. But that testimony was to prove that the message was authentic. This is a testimony which proves that I'm a child of God. And there's a difference between the two. The Holy Spirit speaking has warned, even in the beginning times, of the departure from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." And so, the Holy Spirit has said, there are people who are going to depart from the faith, and we look at the world and we can see people who have departed from the faith in every one of these points. In fact, there's a lot of other ways that people were going to depart from the faith, also testified by the Holy Spirit through the apostle in the same letter and in the second letter to Timothy. A lot of ways that people have departed from the faith. And the Holy Spirit promised that that would happen. Not as a promise that something people wanted to be fulfilled, but that's just the way it's going to be. You should know it now and be prepared for it. Well, people would do well to give heed to the things that were taught in these verses. And understand that people who teach these doctrines have departed from the faith. Maybe you don't realize, or maybe your eyes haven't been made open to the fact that some of these Eastern religions, this New Age movement is making inroads into our culture, and not only ours, but many around the world. And the idea that everything that's an animal is part of God, in fact, everything that's an animal, it would be a sin to kill, it would be murder, and so you don't eat meat. Now, I don't have a problem with someone who's a vegetarian because they want to be more healthy. But if someone starts teaching that as a religious doctrine, that it's a sin to eat meat, they're sinning. They have departed from the faith. They are not Christian. They are not serving God. And folks, those kind of doctrines are getting their way into the minds of your children. There are many popular music groups today that would promote these doctrines. And people do listen, and people are aware of those philosophies that are coming to them, even though they may not be realizing what's really happening. But the Holy Spirit warned of these things. And then, fifthly, the Holy Spirit invites, together with the church, all who would come. In Revelation chapter 22, we have that infamous invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Holy Spirit speaks to us today through the Word, telling us whether we are children of God, helping us to know who Christ is, helping us to know the blessings that God has in store for us, helping us to understand that we shouldn't depart from the faith and be ready for those people who are departed from the faith. And He invites the lost to come to Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks, and He's crying out for people to listen to God. The message is clear. It's unalterable. It is alive. It is powerful, and it's able to change the hearts of men. You know, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6:17, isn't it? But that same Word, according to Hebrews chapter 4, is alive, in verse 12, alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the sword of the Spirit is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. The Holy Spirit is speaking, crying out for people to repent from sin and to come receive the blessings of God, which God has in store for them that love Him. And let's understand and appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit in speaking for us today. Thank you.